The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Experience lightning fast speeds and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Tuesday morning. It's the 15th of June, 2021, and it is grand outside. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie. Oy, oy, oy. So the place is opening up. It's getting better and better. And then I'm reading this morning that locals in Stradbally are up in arms over plans to hold electric picnic there in September, making it increasingly unlikely to go ahead. And I've been talking to the 70,000 of you who bought tickets, and the experts fear that most of the crowd expected at the event would be in their 20s and late teens. That couldn't be right. Electric picnic? Nah, they'd be a bit older than that. I've seen ancient people nearly my age there in the past. Anyway, they said they're highly unlikely to be vaccinated by then. So the Forever Young event planned for Kildare September 10th to 12th stands a better chance of getting the all clear. Why? Well, because everyone there is ancient. Marty Pellow, ancient. Paul Young, ancient. Jimmy Somerville, ancient. OMD, ancient. Anyone who ever owned a CD or a single, 45 or an LP by them, ancient. So you're all there. Being vaccinated now is the stamp of approval to be old. Ancient. Good. What age are you? Nearly 50. Excellent. Vaccinated. Next. What age are you? 52. Brilliant. There's Jimmy Somerville. Get out of my sight. Two tickets. Ancient is good. Ancient is the new beautiful. And not that I ever wasn't, but I'm just telling you now. Vaccinated. Clear. Go. Electric picnic, meanwhile, different story. Decision on the picnic story, which is already sold out. It'll be made by the end of the month. A lot of things happening at the end of the month. Decisions. Can we have a pint inside? Can we eat inside? Such ancient ideas are becoming possibly realisable. We'll have to see. Still unclear whether the All Together Now Festival in County Waterford, due for the August bank holiday weekend, and featuring Underworld, ancient, featuring them, will go ahead. We don't know. We'll have to watch and wait and see. But then cast your eye across to Europe, where live events are set to return with full capacity. Denmark, you're in. Belgium, you're in. No restrictions, full concerts, no issues at all. Amazing. The Dutch government had confirmed that events can return to full capacity without restrictions from June 30th. It's just up the road. Belgium has approved 75,000 capacity open-air concerts to take place. Madison Square Garden has an amazing venue. New York City, June 20th. Foo Fighters, 100% capacity. Open doors. And that's the first one in New York since March 2020. And these announcements include Bruce Springsteen, full capacity shows on Broadway, running from June 26th until the 4th of September. So it's all happening around the place. I know in the UK, their nerves are gone. Were you watching any of that? I don't know if you have friends or family over there, but their nerves are gone. Just looking at one of the British papers this morning, and Miranda Levy writes, two images from the weekend speak louder than any charts and graphs and rumours of doom. A heaving South End beach with not a speck of sand to be seen, and then a leaping crowd of lobster red football fans, beer a spraying, celebrating Raheem Sterling's corker that led to a 1-0 victory for the UK, England I should say, over Croatia in the Euros. They think it's all over, and maybe it is. And Mr. Prime Minister, we are done, she writes. Our summer's arrived and you aren't taking any of it from us. Hashtag I'm done is trending on Twitter, and maybe the government should take note, she writes. Here's a sample tweet from one Julie Lowe. Maybe Julie speaks for the rest of us when she writes, I had COVID. I have antibodies. I've had both vaccines. I've worn a mask. I've sanitized to within an inch of my life. I didn't see my daughter for 3 months last year. My son for 6 due to our jobs. I'm not an expert, so I had to trust others. But now, hashtag, I'm done. No more. It's over. And that's what the feeling is over in the UK. And I think they're doing the smart thing, strangely, from the top to say, hold, there's that word again, but true, steady, because one more month and then, you know, their Delta variant is causing all sorts of trouble and so on. I'm quietly hoping that we don't have to echo that over here and that we could just keep going. Even watching the news last night, I go, don't ask him. They were asking Paul Cunningham, and Paul, do you think this is going to happen over? No, don't, we're doing fine. Don't ask. If you ask them, then they'll know and then they'll hear it. And then they'll delay it. And then we're all back out again. Then no, just don't ask. Everything is fine. Everything is, as the song says, awesome. So keep going. Don't disgusted to death, just keep going. This guy called Jack Krychek tweeted to say that on my first flight in 15 months, which I haven't been on a flight now for a long, long time, first flight in 15 months, of course we were rerouted back to the gate because two passengers got into a physical altercation. This wasn't about COVID. It was two passengers got into a row over elbow placement on the armrest. It's a tricky dilemma for people, the armrest in a plane. Skinny elbows. I mean, you can have it. For example, the Tubridys fly fine. Plenty of room. Loads of armrest space there. No, bring the whole family. Everything's fine. No rows, no issues. But one of the responses to that point was gorgeous. It said, everyone forgot and everyone has forgotten how to behave in public. So now we're all just going around living in a full-time episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Everybody. And we can't help ourselves. And we see things going, you can't do that. And I wish you wouldn't do that. And how much was that? And how did you pay for that? And you have to wear that. And you have to sanitize this. And you're like, come on. We just need... No, I'm going to crawl against the wall as you pass by because it's the first lockdown. It's not. It's not. It's not. We're all ancient. Mostly vaccinated. Keep moving. Everything's fine. Everything's going to be fine. We're on the right road now. Apparently, there's a full etiquette on the plane. Plane etiquette. Goes like this. Window gets an armrest and a window wall to lean on. Middle gets two armrests. Aisle gets the outside armrest and a little bit of extra leg room and body room. We're not animals. I'll leave out the expletive. We're not. We live in a society. But do we, though? What about vaccine smugness? Do you remember the Urban Dictionary included the word just when it was all starting, that people who go on about their vaccines are now called vax holes? Well, vaccine smugness is a thing. Jarlath Regan, the comedian, brilliant, he says, just wanted to ask an honest question about vaccines, lads. I had the AstraZeneca and I keep encountering people who had the other one. Can anyone tell me if one of the side effects of the Pfizer vaccine is smugness? I'm really worried that it might not wear off after 7 days. So Claire says, well, I'm getting my second Pfizer tomorrow, so I think I'm only 80% smug right now, but I'll be 100% smug within 7 to 14 days. And Leo says, I got the one and you're done, J&J, and have been enjoying maximum smugness for 14 days already. Whereas Baz says, AstraZeneca, very much the Hufflepuff of vaccines. So people have been thinking about this. People have been thinking about this. It's so fun to see the upbeat side of all of this after the grimness. You know, it really is. It's good fun. Soundings, the poetry book. Funny enough, Soundings doesn't give me the Glen Rose. I find Soundings is a happier place in terms of nostalgia, with the book marked within an inch of its life, with notes that may or may not have come from your own ideas and head. But Jessica Green was writing to say that this week, everyone who did Soundings for the Leaving will be able to register with the HSE for the COVID vaccine. So there's a bizarre literary twist on the story. She says you may be able to confirm your identity by reciting a short excerpt of Stony Grey Soil of Monaghan. The laugh of my love, you're thieved. Please be vigilant of scams. Remember, nobody from the HSE will ever ask you to name more than one woman poet. As far as any of us know, Emily Dickinson was that one. Well said. Well said. It's a true story, that one for sure. Congratulations to Aisha Nikwila, who is the new president of UCC Students' Union. Feeling a mix of excited and nervous to be starting my dream job as the next president of UCC Students' Union, representing over 22,000 students. Also a tad emotional, proud to be the first woman to hold this office in 18 years. 18 years. That's amazing. Well, congratulations to you and have fun. And no doubt we'll meet when we get down to UCC soon, which I hope we do. That was, I think, the last thing we did before the thing came along. We had a lovely time, but we'll get there again. No doubt about it. Anne Robinson joins Rachel Riley and Susie Dent on the set of Channel 4 ahead of becoming the show's first female presenter in its 39-year history. Three clever girls do countdown is what she said. And there's a picture of them all there on the set. And that is part of the countdown transformation. I love the deaf sheepdog. The deaf sheepdog who... what happened was, it's an elderly sheepdog. And this poor dog went deaf. and border collie. Sheepdogs are great. They're full of character. Do you ever see them? They're so agile, lithe, brilliant. And the dog's called Peggy and was given to the RSPCA after her lack of hearing meant, yeah, she's not much used to us on the farm now, so off she goes. But thankfully, Chloe Shorten, who works with the animal welfare, and her husband Jason, fell for Peggy and adopted her. She's only 8 years old, but this is what happened. And they vowed to get her back to the job she loved. So as you know, sheepdogs are traditionally trained to obey whistles or voice commands with short, simple instructions like away and come by and steady and all these kind of things. But the couple from Norfolk have now trained Peggy to understand commands with hand signals. So they've basically, it's canine sign language. That's what it is. And they use body language and positive and repetitive reinforcement. And the eager sheepdog has learned to recognise gestures such as thumbs up, meaning good girl, and a flat outstretched palm indicating for her to stop. And to ask Peggy to slow down, they've made a waving gesture as if slowing down a car. And the dog is completely back in the game. Isn't that a cute story? I like that. A nice little shaggy dog story for the morning. People with too much time in their hands during COVID can get up to all sorts of things. They could maybe a hobby or, I don't know, do something, watch everything on TV or whatever it might be. But this clown, a guy owned a building in Australia called Brad, and he's been quietly waiting for someone to notice a thing he did as a gag. So he's in Sydney, and his building is just near Sydney Airport. So as you're flying in, much like you'd see the chimneys in Dublin as you're flying into Dublin, you'd see the flat of his building in Sydney. I keep saying Sydney on the purpose, because what he's done is he's painted the words on the flat of the building so that one of the first things you see when you fly into Sydney is "Welcome to Perth," just to freak out the man. Like what? That is a lot of trouble to go to for the crack. So whoever Brad, his man is, obviously has that kind of, you know, that kind of mad Irish twist of crazy in him that he thought would be gas. And while it's kind of amusing, he apparently has scared the proverbial out of people as they're driving or flying in going, "Oh no, I think lads, and then in the middle of it, getting into a row with somebody else because of the elbow space going, "I think we're in Perth. No, I can't get your elbows out of my way. It's killing me." All right. I like to call good behaviour on an airplane jumbo jetiquette. Oh, that's good, Bill. Sadly, sometimes it's in short supply, but not always. I've had many a lovely chat with the stranger beside me on the plane. Of course. Alice says, "I'm here nursing three adults with COVID in my home. The struggle to be real and intense to keep the rest of the household very labour intensive and scary. 3 days down and too many more to go. Good luck. Mind yourselves. We're vaccified and we're ancient." Oh yeah, okay, I know where you're going. We're having a timing moment. And we like to roam the land. Well done, Peter and Kildare. KLF. Justified and ancient. I said, no, you went to a lot of trouble there to vaccified and ancient. I like that. Emily Dickinson, apparently you can recite almost all of her poems to the beat of the Yellow Rose of Texas. I know you love a bit of bizarre trivia. I do, Paul. I was going to say Ostoni Grey Sola Monon, because I could not stop for death, you kindly stop for me. Yeah, I see where you're going on that too. Very good, thank you for that. And Crocs, before we go to some music, Crocs are still a thing. And let's save ourselves a text. We know Crocs are important in hospital settings. Now we move on from that and say that it's people who wear them. And we know Crocs are good if you're in the sea. But unfortunately, I know there's a third damn strand to this. Crocs have become quite famous. They're very famous, quite popular among the 20-somethings. This I know. I've seen it with mine own fair eyes, much to the hilarity and disgust in the house. But now they've got Crocs with heels. Now, if you don't believe what I've just said, you can look it up. It's a croc. It's a Balenciaga, the French fashion house, have a new heeled version of the... Is this a joke? Of the famous foam clog. If that wasn't enough to make you not want to buy them. What are you wearing? I'm wearing a foam clog. Oh, nice. Do you work in a hospital? Nope. Are you 22? Nope. do you go to the sea? No. Well, then I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut your ankles off, put them in the bin, complete with a crock. But yeah, they're going to set you back £800 sterling and a mixture between a crock and a stiletto, a crocchetto, if you will. And maybe if you won't, let's not. 51551 is the text number. If I hit the bell here, we can start our music like this this morning. Our life. That's John Lennon, and Just Like Starting Over, which is great, apart from the brackets. I hate a song with a bracket. Okay, 51551. It's nearly as annoying as a book with that is based, that they made a film about or a TV series about. And then the book cover you can only find is one that features actors on it from the thing they're in. Hey, no, I know, I actually won't buy it. I'll wait. I'll just wait. Be patient. Someone did a similar thing on the a number on the passengers flying into Milwaukee in the past by painting a "Welcome to Cleveland" sign to the roof. So it's this is not the first time this has happened. I didn't know that. And now, a fortnight ago, says Helen in Nall in County Dublin, myself and my husband were chatting about books, and he described a book that we had both read about 10 years ago as being the best book he'd ever read. And we could remember the plot. We thought the author was French and the title was quirky, but could not for the life of us remember the title. This is a killer of a thing to happen. My house has been pulled apart looking for the book, but to no avail. I've checked the bestseller list going back years. Nothing. Head wrecked, addled. Suddenly, out of the blue, yesterday morning, you mentioned a book we had all read years ago. The Truth About the Harry Kuber Affair by Joël Dicker. The very book. Untying the Knot. At last. Strange or what? The said book by the Swiss author, indeed, Joël Dicker, has been ordered and will arrive in the next few months. So thank you. That is a result. Head calmed. Well, Helen, you've obviously read that book already some 10 years ago, but you just want it replaced as a spine on the bookshelf, which I do all the time. If ever I don't get a book back that I've lent, which drives me nuts, I will just simply buy it again, especially if it's one I really love because I want it there and see it and maybe sometimes revisit it, if only for a paragraph or the whole thing. Either way, I get where you're coming from. So you got that sorted out. His new one, The Disappearance of Stephanie Mailer, which is on... I have a very strange relationship with this book. I gobbled it up and I thought it was... sometimes you just want a Big Mac meal and you just go, do you know what? It was delicious. I don't feel very proud of myself. I don't think it was necessarily the right thing to do. But at the time, it was everything I needed. And that is the sort of book that is. And fine. It is... I think you'll kind of like it. It's a strange one. It's called The Disappearance of Stephanie Mailer. Okay, try it and see what you think and come back to me if you wouldn't mind. Thank you very much. 51551. I want to do a quick email to ryan@rte.ie from Jer Keary, who says, well done on climbing that unforgiving mountain, Karen Tootle. I see you had some clearance weather-wise, which is great. It's spectacular. I'm now 58 and I conquered it in 2018, the year I started hill walking of sorts, just with my knowledgeable and experienced pals. And Jerry goes on to tell us a bit about himself, but he includes to say that my job in the HSE has been a struggle since March 2020 through COVID, and the cyber attack is even worse, believe it or not. My husband and two sons had their livelihood stripped in a matter of weeks, but the therapy offered by our glorious experiences of hills and walking cannot be underestimated. At the moment, these things carry me. So please tell the nation mountains are healing places. They take you out of your head and into that space places. They are there and they are in the presence up to their necks and they are still in it and with it and within it. And that's from John O'Donoghue. I'm not one bit religious, says Jer, anymore, but this is what they do for me. So I hope you got a bit of that on Karen Tool, which I did indeed, Jer. And I loved your message because there's truth in it and there's a lot of beauty and joy and help in nature, I think you'll find. And that's a well thought out email. I appreciate that very much. We have a guest standing by with quite a story to tell, so I'm looking forward to meeting her and talking to her with you. We'll do that after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
At 8:58, a lovely response to my chat with Miriam there, and thank you for all of those. We'll get to some of them in a moment. is the beautiful voice of an Irish woman, Megan O'Neill, and Time in a Bottle at 5 to 10. I do want to make reference to one of our listeners, Eddie, Eddie Bryan and Gorey, just while we're on the subject of love and loss. You might remember he wrote to me. He says, I was on to you coming home from St. Luke's Hospital with my wife, Maria, and we were stuck in traffic. And as a treat, you gave us a prize of €100 voucher for Brown Thomas. And my wife was battling a very rare form of cancer. Eddie writes, Ryan, it's with a heavy heart I have to let you know that my Maria's fight came to a peaceful end on the 28th of May. We're all devastated after losing her so quickly, too quickly. And she left lots of happy memories, but we are blessed to have had her in our lives. The boys, Peter and Aaron, miss her mam, their mam so much. And now the woman of my dreams is now in my dreams. And she listened to you with fond affection every day. So thank you from Ed, Brian and the boys. So Eddie, I thank you for your email. And I remember very well you stuck in the traffic. And I remember thinking of the gentle humour that you showed in your message to us, that obviously you and Maria were fun people, happy people and people in love. And that is a rare and gorgeous thing. So I'm sending you on behalf of the team and myself personally, our condolences to you and to Peter and to Aaron. And we hope you're doing okay. And you've a friend in us, so we'll be here for you. Have a morning and we wish you well. And stay in touch and mind yourself. It's 4 minutes to 10. On another subject altogether, somebody was saying, what is that music he was playing? That fool was playing at the beginning of the show. That was how somebody had said that all our lives have turned into one big Larry David episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is this sick tune to this very, very funny, droll, wry television show about a grumpy man walking around, getting into scrapes, kind of like, weirdly, like Fawlty Towers, you know, just kind of going, how did that happen to him again? That's the music. And somebody asked, oh, right, that's the music. But it reminds me of the Ryan's Daughter main title theme. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, never know. That's more a happy Larry. Happy go Larry. At that point, yeah, okay. Thank you for that compare and contrast, Leaving Cert Mo. Hey, good luck to all the Leaving Certers. I know it's kicked off and yeah, I hope you're doing all right and we haven't forgotten you. Who is this person? Orla from Cork. I love, love, love Crocs. Get out. No, stay. I'll be 50 this year and I know that I'm wearing them since I discovered them in 2007 on the boat going to France. Our eldest daughter will turn 17 soon and all of a sudden they're a thing with her age. Yeah, well, that's true. They've just caught up, Orla. It's okay. Everything's going to be fine. Still, though. Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for your lovely texts and comments and a lot of admiration for and appreciation of Miriam, who gave such an honest account of herself and her story with Ronan with us this morning. We appreciate that very, very much indeed. Stay tuned for the rest of the morning. Philip Boucher-Hayes is going to be in for Claire this morning, so stay tuned for him. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.